Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. So, without further ado, podcast time. I've been waiting to do this for a while and I'm really excited about it. Heidi, she doesn't really need any introduction. However, she has been in this game for 20 odd years. She is a really, really, really good DJ. And the interesting thing is she is just a DJ. She doesn't produce music, which is unheard of in this scene anymore. She does other things. She was on Radio 1 for 7 to 9 years, I believe. She's worked at record shops. She's had record labels. She runs her own club nights. She's just an amazing human being, and I really wanted to get her on here and have a conversation about history and current situations of the scene at the moment and kind of just get a vibe of life and kind of a bit of education really for everybody. So I love this conversation. She's one of the best human beings out there. So I'm going to stop blabbering on and let you guys listen. So without further ado, Heidi. Heidi. Oh,
hi. Hold on 1 second. Let me shut the door. There we go. Okay. Hi.
We made it happen.
We made it happen. Finally, it's happening. We're looking at each other's faces.
I know. It's been a long time in the making. Okay?
Can you see me okay?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see you that far ago. It wasn't that long ago, was it? Time, there's no time anymore. I don't understand.
Yeah, you look great. You look absolutely amazing. Your nails look even better. I'm digging the green nails.
They're my chrome goblin nails.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you in the world?
I'm in my house. I'm in my lounge. Hold on.
What country?
There's something. There we go. So this is not my computer. So there's like little things popping up all over the place. Yeah, I'm in my lounge with my favorite people, Prince and David Bowie and Nick Cave.
Hi, Nick.
And then over here we have PJRB. Yeah, I've got all my favorite people around me.
This is what I like to hear. What more can you ask?
And all my other walls are all full of all other artists that I love as well. House is like a rock and roll hall of fame.
Do you live in London?
Huh?
Do you live in London?
Yeah, I've lived here for 23 years.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you lived in London.
And I always thought you were American. Do you know that?
Everyone always thinks I'm fucking American. Always.
I thought you were American for the longest time. And then because we're always talking in clubs and it's always really loud. And I'm just like, one day, all of a sudden I heard the British accent come through and I'm like, what the hell? Like maybe because you're so connected with Barclay and all those guys that you're like, you know, that's how I know you from.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so therefore I just
that's it.
People assume that I'm Yeah, people assume that I'm American. People assume that I'm German or I'm from Sweden or something because my hair is blonde or whatever. Yeah. But as soon as I talk, I'm automatically American, but I'm not. I'm Canadian. So.
Where?
But I lived here more long. Like I've lived here longer than I've lived in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As of last year.
Nice. Where in Canada land are you from?
I grew up across the border from Detroit in Michigan.
In Windsor?
In Windsor, Ontario.
Well,
where the legendary Richie Houghton's from. That's where only white people know Windsor, Ontario. Yeah.
Well, I live in Detroit as well.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How do I not know that?
Because we've only spoken a club. Like handing sets over. We've never had a chat.
Shit. You live in Detroit. Where in Detroit?
Like
then you know where Windsor is, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I drive when I go to Toronto, I drive through it.
You throw a stone across the riverfront and just hit Windsor. Like, hey.
Yeah, we wave at each other from Hart Plaza. Yeah. I've been
I thought you were gonna be there this year, but you weren't there for movement.
No, I played the year before. And I had some.
Yeah, I know. They do the one year on, 1 year off sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wish I was in town, but I had to do. I was playing EDC, I think. So.
Okay.
I wasn't in Detroit, sadly.
I never get invited to those shows. I don't know why, but that's just another story.
We can talk about that. We can also talk about that.
I did it once, I think, in Chile or somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. Somewhere around the world. I don't know. Maybe I pissed off some promoter or something, or, you know, wasn't too friendly. Maybe said something a little risque or something. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm here for it.
My big mouth gets me into trouble sometimes.
Does it really though? No.
No. No, it doesn't.
I think people like that.
What? Do I have a big mouth?
Yeah. Well, is it about having a big mouth or is it about being honest?
It's about being honest and being ballsy and not really letting people walk all over me.
Exactly.
And or talk down to me like I don't know anything.
Exactly. And I respect that from anyone. And I think
I'm just like, no, sorry, that's not really kind of how it goes. This is how it goes.
Yeah. No, I really respect it because in this music industry, a lot of people can be offended very easily.
Oh my God, especially now.
Oh my God.
No, actually the last 5-6 years has been, it's changed a lot, which some for the better, some for the worse. You know what I mean? I appreciate that people want to be recognized by a certain, a certain way and that's what they want and that's what they should get, But, I'm of an older generation and sometimes things just, don't come across as the way that you want them to come across. Totally. People get offended by it and it's like, no, I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like this, you always have to explain yourself. I feel like I have to explain myself a lot.
Yeah, which is why I'm really interested. I'm really excited about this conversation because I've been a fan of yours as a DJ for so long, so long.
I'm not that old. Jesus God.
You're not that old at all, but you've been in this industry.
I've got my cane and my my Zimmer frame over here. Just don't worry about me.
Well, you did break your leg, didn't you? Not so long ago.
I tore my lateral meniscus, which is worse than breaking your leg.
Way worse.
And then I almost had my toe chopped off in Cape Town in February and I had to wear a moon boot for about 7 weeks. So that was fun. Stitches. It almost chopped my whole toe off.
This what happened?
Bench. A bench, a wooden oak bench fell on my toe, fell on my foot. And then as I was trying to relax, looking at the sunset over the ocean and wham, bam, bye-bye toe.
Goodbye toe.
So I was like, it's fine. And then I left it until the morning. And the morning there was blood everywhere. And I was like, okay, I think I need to go to the emergency room.
How's that?
I don't want it can't have any more injuries in my feet. Like, this is what I need. Like, my legs and my feet, I need more than anything to, like, stand, dance. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. I'm not, like, I feel so sorry for holographic. Like, you know, I see she's been, I think she did a similar thing during movement. And I said, like, listen, like, you've got to get that checked out, like, right away. Yeah. Because, like, if it's something bad, it can ruin your fucking leg forever. For you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, she's been sitting down DJing.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, it's absolutely mad. I know, but
the one good thing about it is you get to get rushed right through onto the plane. You don't have to go through any of that bullshit sitting in line crap at the airport.
Come on, you don't sit in lines. You're group number one.
I was for a very long time, but now I've gone down.
Oh, no.
I've been demoted.
Are you with the peasants?
No. No, I've only gone down one.
Oh, you're fine then.
I'm okay.
You're fine.
I'm okay.
Who do you fly with?
I'm okay. I don't, it's only, I only care about that stuff just so I can, like, just get through fast. Yeah, I don't same. Like, I don't like waiting. I'm not a good, I'm very impatient.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. For a Brit as well, I'm not very British when it comes to, like, we love a line. We love queuing
up. Guys love to queue up, like, for everything. And I'm like, you guys have seats. Like, you know what I mean? You have seats, tickets on your seats. Like, do you remember when EasyJet started and there was no seats? You had to, like, it was like grab, was it grab and dash or dash and grab or whatever? And it was just like chaos at the door. And it was like every run to try and get a good seat. Ugh.
The thing that annoys me about EasyJet now is that you pay for speedy boarding and then they put you on a bus with everybody that doesn't have speedy boarding because it's, we're in.
Babe, those are like the worst. Those are like the, we shouldn't talk about those sort of things because then people call us DJs complaining.
I think this whole podcast is called Will Clark Complains. That's what it's about.
No, we don't need to complain. The sun was out today. Where do you live?
So I live in Somerset.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Why do you live? What?
I'm a farmer boy. I'm a country boy. So I grew up in here.
Nice.
Have you ever been
don't have a West Country accent, though.
Thank fuck. Let's be honest.
Dan eats everything, still has one. A little bit.
He's like Bristol boy through and through, though. Like, if you saw, like, where he grew up in that area, like, it's very Bristol.
Well, I can't even do it. I can't even do a British accent, and I've lived here for 23 years.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
23 years I've lived here, and I can't do one. It's the A. It's the vowel.
Yeah.
It's the vowel A. It screws me up every time.
Did you lose the Canada A?
No.
Still do it?
I'm still full Canadian, like full blown. Like, I mean, every time I talk to anybody else who's Canadian, they do sound a little bit more Canadian than me, but I slip right back into it. It's like, it's easy.
I love playing in Canada and you turn up at the airport and literally everyone just sounds so friendly because they just like.
Yeah, I never play in Canada. I never, ever play in Canada.
Why not?
Canadians don't normally play in Canada.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bit of a shame. All through my career, I never played in Canada.
It's fine. I don't play in England. No one books me in England.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How does that even work?
Same as you in Canada.
Yeah, I guess so. But like England's like, Canada's not really known for their dance music culture. You know what I mean? But like, I mean.
I think.
They're known for their like. Like when you go up towards like Toronto and Montreal's good. Montreal's got a great scene. Montreal's Toronto, good. I don't know. I haven't been there in a million years. I haven't been in Vancouver. I went a couple of years. Well, 2018, I think, was the last time I was there. So
yeah, Vancouver's a strange one because it's a beautiful city, but like the scene is.
It's a beautiful city until you hit East Hastings, and then it turns into the Night of the Walking Dead. Heroin addicts everywhere.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's awful. People in third, like who come from third world countries who come here and sit, like, it's not even, I've been to third world countries, like traveling and touring, especially in South America and like, you know, all those places and where the poorest of the poor is not as horrible as looking in Vancouver, parts of Vancouver. It's crazy.
Or downtown LA.
Huh?
Or downtown.
Downtown LA. Yeah, that was a shock to me the first time I went there. I was like, what the hell is this?
Have you been recently?
Like, and San Francisco too. I mean, you know, it's sad.
Have you been since pandemic?
To LA, yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking so bad.
It's even worse. It's worse.
It's so sad as well, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it does make sense because our government don't like to help us out.
That's why it doesn't make sense to me, because I'm like,
I'm still clawing my way out of debt still, and I think it's going to be a real long while until I get back to normal again because of the pandemic. Yeah, yeah. I just really, like, right before it hit, I paid a very, very massive tax bill.
Yeah.
So I gave them all my money basically before. I didn't make any money for 2 years, yeah. 2.5 years, and they didn't give me anything, like no help. I got no help from the government and nothing.
In America Zero. Or England?
England.
England, yeah.
Yeah, this is where I had to go through Brexit too. I had to become a citizen. I had to like do all this stuff and like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah,
Brexit is possibly the worst thing that probably could have happened to this country.
I agree. The crazy thing is one of my friends, he's like a property developer, but he's a lot, some of his properties now are kind of being converted into for like refugees coming over.
Okay, that's cool.
Which is really cool, but it's kind of weird because
they don't want that.
It's not that they don't want that, but it's like you told everybody they had to leave because of Brexit. And now you're letting thousands and like hundreds of thousands of people come in.
I was worried that I was going to get kicked out. And I'm like,
yeah, but
I have a Dutch passport. That's why I'm allowed to live here, because my dad's Dutch. So obviously my last name is very, I couldn't have a more Dutch name if I tried. My mom's Italian, my dad's Dutch. So it's a very interesting combination.
But yeah, the refugees that are coming over aren't allowed to work. And you're like, you're bringing hundreds of thousands of people over, but you're not allowing them to work. And then the economy, like, it just doesn't, these politics. Yeah, I'm not political, but
we're all fucked.
We're all fucked. stick to techno.
If I go like this, it looks like I have horns.
It does, actually.
Yeah, that's my kudu.
Where's that from? Africa?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I got him at Spitalfields. I was like, oh yeah, he's good. He'll fit nicely above my fireplace.
Do you go there often?
I actually have a working fireplace in London, which is crazy.
How are you allowed that?
Because I'm in Clapton.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't say that out loud.
Probably be like 100 people that listen to this that don't know where Clapton is. Oh, I lost you on...
No, when I moved here, somebody put online. Oh my God, Heidi's moved in across. Oh.
Oh, you're back. You're back.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I moved here, I didn't have any blinds yet, and somebody that was friends with Rich McGinnis from Warehouse Project said, I just saw this on Facebook, and somebody's like, oh my God, Heidi's moved in across the street from me. And there was like all these comments like, yeah, come over, do an after party, play chess. And I was like, who is this person? Like, you're friends with them. Who is this? Get them to take that off. I don't want my address out there for the world to know. Instagram just tells you, hello, I'm gone. Like, this is where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Like, luckily I've got a good alarm system.
That's not good at all.
Like, I remember, like, when BPM was in Mexico, I mean, that was just I knew it was going to become a recipe for disaster, because it's just like every DJ in the world's on the lineup, and like every hotel's full of all the DJs, and they don't have any locks on the doors or anything, and you could just walk in and grab whatever you want.
Yeah.
And everybody got robbed. So
did they? Yeah,
a lot of people started getting robbed towards the end,
really?
Before that really horrible accident happened. So yeah.
Well, was it really an accident?
What, the shootings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was. I don't know what happened there.
Fuck.
I just know that there was guns involved in shootings and people dying. So that's not very nice.
Yeah, it's fucking.
But I just you know, Mexico's sketchy in places.
Yeah.
Beautiful country. I love the people. But, you know, you got to be careful wherever you go, even England.
Even England.
Even England, there's still sketchy people out there.
Yeah, there's
sketchy people wherever you go.
There is. How was the XOY residency?
It is going great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's harder, obviously, because it's July, you know, it's been warm weather out. Everybody's staying outside, you know, so it's harder to get people in like earlier and stuff, but it's been great. I mean, I'm lucky that there's 5 Saturdays, so at least I get to have an extra one. Mm. It's like, you know, starting fresh. Yeah. I'm starting new from the Jackathon. So this is called Hijacked, which is just a little play on words, obviously, just to prepare people to remember, if they do remember, because like the generation now,
it's changed.
When I stopped doing the Jackathon, don't forget that's 6 years. So that's like, you know, there's whole 6 years of change that happened in between. Yeah. A lot has changed in 6 years, like musically for sure. And a lot of the people that I had play at my party are now like massive DJs, and I can't get them to play again because they're too expensive. So no. It's been good. It's been fantastic. I love it. I mean, it's nice to have an output to have, I don't make music, so I like to showcase what I think is going to be like the next, you know, or people that I admire, or people that, you know, that I can even get. Like, I've got a huge list of people. It's just who's available, who costs what, you know. It's like it all comes down. There's a lot of like
moving
parts. What do you call it? There's a lot of just logistics involved in it. Like, you have to talk to 20 people just to get one answer, you know, and it's like, before you speak, I'm just calling people. I'm like, people like, hey, do you want to play at my night? Okay, yeah. Tell your agent to say yes. Okay. So when they get the email from the promoter that you told me yes. Okay. And then they say no. So that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the time.
Again, it goes back to that honesty thing.
Yeah. So I everybody I've ever booked, I've contacted personally myself, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like I know personally. I didn't know. I thought you lived in America. So yeah. There you go. I couldn't get anybody who was like from far away for this time.
Cost money.
Just for reasons of financial reasons.
Yeah.
Obviously it costs a lot of money to fly across the ocean. If I catch somebody who's on tour over here, then that's helpful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I really like the concept that they do that as a club, though, with the whole residency thing. There's nowhere else that I'm aware of that does that, obviously, apart from Ibiza. Obviously.
I just want to, like, hijack people for one night, you know? Just hijack you for one night, take you on a little journey, you know? Like, I don't want the same music all the time. I don't want, like, you know, all the people that I book are all play differently from each other, you know? It's not the same.
But that's so important. And I think that's for me that I want to kind of talk to you about as well, because for me, for when I started in the industry, it was more so about, sorry if it sounds like rain, it's absolutely hammering down and it's so loud on my roof right now. So I don't know if you.
Yeah, it's raining here too. It's raining here too.
Crazy.
I can't hear it. I
that's good.
It.
That's good. But like, I used to find that about lineups, that it would be very like different in a lot of places, where like you'd have artists that play different music. And now I feel like it's all just like artists that just play one thing. And
Chipmunk terror trance. That's my new word.
TikTok techno and trance.
Yeah. I've lost you at the internet. Something about the internet.
I think your connection's a bit far. Yeah. I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. I call it Chipmunk Terror Trance. It's the worst. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I cannot listen to that fucking music. Like, just shoot me in the freaking face. Actually, don't, please don't shoot me in the face, but like, hear me out. Like, what is this? Like, what is this music? It's not even music.
I had DJ Bone on the podcast, and he was like talking about the techno scene right now, And he was like, techno, which I'd never really looked at, I'd never really kind of thought about it from his perspective. But he was like, techno is not just about the music, it's about the culture and the movement. And he was like, the techno music that's being released now, especially like the TikTok techno, he's like, there's no soul in any of it. He's like, you take the kick drum out and there's nothing.
No soul. Listen, growing up next to Detroit, the home of techno, yeah. I mean, the techno that I listened to back when I started listening to dance, like electronic music, I did meet Richie. We became friends in the mid 90s. And then he turned me on to all sorts of like Carl Craig and all the Plus Eight stuff. And, you know, Kevin Saunderson, all those guys, and Jeff Mills, obviously. And the first international DJ I saw in Detroit was Carl Cox. Yeah. And that was like, he was playing really, really hard.
Yeah.
Like for me, that was like, I mean, really hard and really fast. And I was like, I liked it, but it was good and it was funky.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to use the word funky, but like, I like some bass and I like some, like, you know, all this stuff's like all up here. It's all like, it's like trancy. And I just don't follow. And it's all full of guys. Like all the parties are just full of dudes. So you go to those parties and it's like,
yeah.
I used to call it hairspray techno. The breakdown was like, shh, white noise. Yeah. So it's just like, that was like 10 years ago. So was that 10 years ago? I don't know. No, that was the minimal scene.
2008.
Minimal techno scene. That was like 2014 or something like that. It stayed for a while and then disappeared. But it's coming back.
Sadly.
No, I like it. I like some of it. You know, the more chunkier stuff. Like, the person who was involved with it a lot was Mark Cool, who was also from Windsor. But he his stuff was
good.
The bomb. Like, I always played his music.
I think it's just the soulless stuff. There's just, you're just like, this is just
the blinky plonky freaking no thanks. Like that's why I started my old residency, the Jackathon, was because I was bored of going to these label nights and hearing the same music all night long. So I said, I'm going to start my own night where I'm going to pick people from all of those different genres and bring them all together and start a night so everybody can listen to everybody else's music and maybe be inspired, just do something different, you know, try something different.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
And not be so snobby. Like, you know, everybody, like, everybody's all about integration now, you know, but like, it's still not that integrated. You know what I mean? It's very clicky still. And I don't like clicks. I'm a lone wolf. I've never traveled with a group of people. I may have one person with me. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? I don't have a tour manager. I never had a tour manager. You know, I mean, like a couple friends might come with me and that's it. I don't travel with 25 people. You know, it's just like,
it's just you.
it doesn't like, I don't need it to make me look cool in a DJ booth, you know, like have a big bunch of people around me. I don't really care. It's just like, I've always been solo mission. Like, I pop in and out of scenes. I know everybody from all the different scenes, course, you know, and it's like, hi, hey, how's it going? But I have no, what's the word I'm looking for?
Click.
No, I have no, like, I'm not against anybody who plays different music than I play. You know what I mean? Not like, I'm not rude to people. Like, I may not enjoy the music style that they play, but that's that. I still will be nice people and we'll be friends. But, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about that one. But which people I'm not, you know, people that, just, I don't know. It's just throwaway music. You play it once and that's it. It's done. Like, I play records that have been like for 20, 30 years. And people are like, what's that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so good. I'm like, yeah, it was before you were born, I'm afraid. Yeah. So I'll tell you what it is. It's called Prince. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but you know.
So like, I'm going to annoy you. I was never a Prince fan.
It's over.
See ya. Yeah, I've never gotten into him.
It's all right. We can just carry on and move on.
We'll just ignore that. It's fine.
Question.
It's fine. Yeah, I
you're never gonna get anything out of me. I'm just going to be stonewalling you the whole way because Prince is my hero. And my whole, you should see the other walls in my room. I've got a freaking, I got a platinum disc framed.
I wish I liked it. I wish I got into it. And it's not like I dislike.
The old Prince is good. The Prince, like, the, he made like a million other albums that were shit, you know, but he's still the most talented person ever. When you see him play live, he's so good. Yeah. And, it was the first album I was ever given when I was a child was Purple Rain when I was 8. My parents obviously were very young and didn't listen to the lyrics, and a little risque for an 8-year-old, but shaped who I am today.
It's made you who you are today, so that's all that matters.
Totally, it's right there.
You're in on the Prince thing, then, aren't you?
I'm in on the Prince thing.
Fully in. Listen, I respect that.
It's right there. That's when he's 17 years old, that picture right there.
Wow.
First ever picture, what do you call it? Press photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's 17. And when he died, he looked exactly the same. The fro.
Yeah, he looked crazy. He didn't grow old, did he? At all.
No.
Didn't get old. Crazy.
Luckily, you know, we weren't born with that lovely skin tone, you know?
Us white people get old very easily.
We get all wrinkly and saggy.
Yeah, it's music's interesting right now. And that's why I kind of wanted to talk to you as well, to kind of get your views on my perspective on the scene. And I also want to talk to you, like, about this, the whole equality thing as well, that's going on in the scene right now, and what's your thoughts?
I've always looked at everybody as equals. Yeah. I've never had to fly a flag above my nights that say, "Hey, look at, there's 4 gay people playing here. There's 2 black people, and there's 1 trans person." Like, I wouldn't even think about that because I booked people on talent and friendliness and the way that they are as humans, as people, you know what I mean? I don't give a shit. Like, you can be whoever you want to be. Yeah.
I've always said that there's space for everybody in this scene.
There is space for everybody. There is. I think there's too many of us right now, to be quite honest with you.
I think
there's too many people DJing. Like, I mean, there's too many DJs.
I think for me, it's more so, it's a lot of what I see, and this, it's kind of really hard to say this in like a, without offending people, but fuck it. Like, I feel like we're in, at this moment in time, we're in a very tick boxy scene where you have to tick a box to play certain things and to be not just play, but to have your music be acknowledged on streaming platforms, on radio, as a DJ, as a promoter, blah, 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 blah.
Well, as being, you know, 9 years on Radio One, that was, you know, I saw how the whole radio system worked, you know, and who got played and why they got played. Yeah. And, you know, I know like a lot of the people are really chummy with
producers,
the press people who do your press, music press. You know, if you're really in with one of the press people, then your record's going to get played over and over and over and over again on radio, especially on Radio One. You'll hear Sarah Story, Pete Tong, and Danny Howard all play the same track.
Yeah.
All like 3 times in the night. So, that could be down to, I mean, that's down to who's giving it to them. You know, they're like, this is hot off press. It's not even out yet. Here you go. Yeah. You know what I mean? So here you go. Take it. And then they get the record played. And then, it's good. Same with Boiler Room. Boiler Room, you do 1 Boiler Room. And like now, like when I did Boiler Rooms, it was so poorly put together. Oh my God. It was terrible. Like it was embarrassing. You know what I mean? I felt so uncomfortable. It was just, and now it's like, They did it the way that I told them. I remember saying at the beginning, I was like, you guys should have cameras all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, you're showing the vibe of the club, not people sitting behind me. Like, you know, like, that's just weird. You know, it's just bizarre. And now especially the Ava Festival in Dublin, you know, you get a good boiler room on that festival, and that's it. You're
gone.
Off and running.
Yeah, Circle was the same, wasn't it, as well?
Or Death Mental, or all those festivals. Yeah, those very niche music. But like, to be honest with you, that's because the younger generation are constantly looking online at like what's.
Yeah.
They're not going out and searching for what's good. They're being told what's good on this thing here.
Yeah.
You know. Or certain websites, you know, who favor certain artists, you know, that will just brag about them. But, and then tear them down 2 months later. They'll do that. I know there's a lot of websites that do that. They'll big you up and they're like, you're the best. Oh my God, this is the best DJ in the world. And then 2 months later, they might have done something wrong. And then they just tear them apart and ruin their career. So.
Yeah. Or Resident Advisor was fucking great at that at the time.
You said it. I didn't have to say that.
It's fine. I they've never supported me, so I don't care.
Yeah, I know, like, I knew the owners as well. Like, they're really good friends. I did number 34, mix 34. Wow. Okay, I didn't even know how to even DJ them. Yeah. It's all live on vinyl, and like, I made a few mistakes. It was in a strip club in Russia. I was like, oh shit, I gotta get, like, Resident Advisor wasn't big at all. Like, wasn't as big as it was now, like, to have a mix on there. I was like, okay, sure, I'll do this mix. I'll just record this set and I'll give it to them. It wasn't like a big deal. And then, it was the first time that they said they had more comments, they tore me to pieces, like, for like a slight offbeat little wobble of a mix, like people just saying that I suck dicks to get to where I am. And it was like, it was a total misogyny was rife back when I started. Like, I mean, there was literally like 10 women of us DJing like around. That's it. And maybe when I started, and we all had our own like different little groups of people that none of us played the same.
Yeah.
We all played different stuff. And I mean, that's why I'm still here talking to you 20 years later. You know, I've been DJing for
a long time,
since 2004, I think. So almost 20 years. Yeah, it would be almost 20 years.
It's pretty amazing, because I was talking to somebody about you today.
Hopefully, good.
It was good. Because I was talking about that. I've got a conversation with you, and there's really not many people that have been in the industry for this long that don't release music, and that is literally like a straight up DJ. I know you've had like your Radio 1 residencies, I know you've had record labels like kind of releasing music and things like that and bringing other artists on, but there's literally like nobody really else that has done what you've done and stayed the distance. There's a few, but like not many that have stayed the distance and carrying on touring. Like, even if we use Annie Mac, for example, which I can't put you guys on the same, because she was radio, she was not really a DJ for ever. She was started as radio, but like, even she's not doing it anymore.
She's one of my favorite humans on the planet.
She's great. But I'm not even, I can't even put you two in that same realm, because you started out.
She used to come into my record store and buy records off me, like, you know. Yeah. But she was one of the first feet, like, her, Hannah, Cosmo, Murphy, Blair, Breakfast, she used to come in all the time. But there was like three, like, well, there wasn't very many women that used to come record shopping. We lost the internet again.
Yeah, we lost it, but I heard all of you. We heard all of it.
So like I fell into DJing by accident. It was just because people were always like, you know, you have such good taste in music, you should DJ. And I'm like, I was playing like hip hop and dub and reggae and back rooms of of like breakbeat nights because my boyfriend was a breakbeat hip, old school hip hop and reggae and dub and all that stuff and like ragga in the side room. But the side room would always be popping like hardcore because I would just be like, play all the great old school hip hop tunes and stuff. Like, I like everything. So, and then I also loved house and techno, but you know, there wasn't a, wasn't room in that relationship for two DJs, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So once I started to DJ, that relationship ended. Because I think he always wanted to be a DJ, but he never really truly got there. But he's a very successful person now, so it's fine. Good. He's you know, he does great things. We're still friends. But it's yeah. And then I just sort of started to do it in Berlin, like with Mandy and Book of Shade and those guys from Get Physical. Yeah. They sort of like took me under their wing and just like took me everywhere. I have them. I have them to thank a lot, you know, and obviously Fonica and all that stuff. Like, cause I got to meet everybody. Everybody shopped at Fonica.
Did you work at Fonica?
I opened it.
What?
Yes.
How do I not know this?
I opened it. Yeah, me, Simon Rigg, and Tom Raleen, who's unfortunately no longer with us, but
Wow, I did not know you started Fonica.
I wrote all those fucking master bags out with my fucking hand. I had like tendonitis from writing all this, like fucking all that shit you see behind you. I had to write all that down. Okay, there's still my handwriting on those all those bags, and that just turned 20. Wow. Like I just turned 20 years old in April.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So
I miss record shops. I miss
record shopping too. I have to be honest with you. I miss playing vinyl. I miss playing all that. I miss all that stuff. Like, I mean, I could do it if I wanted to, but it's just too, it's not, clubs aren't like, you have to just really go through a lot of shit to get the sound right, you know, because like if the needle jumps or anything happens, it's just like, it's too touchy. You know what I mean? Like certain clubs just don't. I remember going to a club and they didn't even know what, like they had no record players ever in their club. Like, and I was like, okay. Okay. Like, no, I'm like, yeah, I only play vinyl. This is back in the day. And like, I get there and I'd be like dust blowing off and like coffee cup or drink holder circles on the decks, like thing. And I was just like, this is going to be awful.
Yeah. Record players became the like drinks.
Pitch control doesn't work anymore. I was like, oh my God. And then somebody stole all my, like most of my records off the belt when I was DJing, like all my like two bags. When I was traveling in between London and Berlin, when I lived in Berlin for 3 years, and then somebody like stole all my records, like pretty much the ones I played the most, and two big bags. And I was like, fuck. Jesus. So, and then the other time I landed in somewhere, I think Romania, and my records didn't turn up, and they were like, well, you're gonna have to use CDJs. And I'm like, I've never even used a CDJ before. I didn't even know how to use it. I was like, I couldn't play. I had no idea how to use it or anything. I was like, what's this?
Wow.
Then getting used to CDs and then getting used to the USB sticks. It was like, I feel like a sham walking up with this little thing and it's like, you know, sticking it in there. But
yeah, you feel like a fake, don't you?
It's more about the music. It's more about the music you play than what format it's on, to be honest with you. I mean, I love to have a record in my hand and touch it and feel, you know, I used to love that, but now I don't really give a shit. It's like, it's about the track. It's not about what format.
Yeah. I've started buying vinyl again though. In my place in Detroit, I was like, okay, I need to start listening to vinyl again. Not necessarily like electronic.
You miss out on loads of stuff, and there's loads of stuff that's only on vinyl.
Yeah. And also like, you know? I'm kind of bored of listening to like Spotify. And like when I'm just around my house, I'm like, let's go buy an actual album and let's go listen to an album on a vinyl player and just like
get up and turn it over.
Exactly. I love it. And it feels, I'm not even old, but it feels great. It's just like having like a collection of vinyl again and like go into a vinyl shop.
My dad used to buy two copies of everything.
Oh, did he?
He'd play one and keep the other one. Just like, my dad's got some, well, we don't speak. I haven't talked to him for a very, very long time, like over 20 years, but when I was younger, he had two copies, one to play and one that he knew was going to be worth a lot of money one day. He was smart because he had the goods for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
Damn.
I got the music bug from him for sure. Him and my mom, they both love like music. They are music freaks. They are both. My mom was 21 when she had me.
Yeah.
Like I wake up in like the middle of the week and step over dead drunk bodies. Like, you know, they didn't have house parties in the middle of the week. We had school in the morning. I'd be emptying ashtrays and putting beer bottles back in the case right before breakfast. Making cereal, milk, cake, go to school.
How was that childhood for you?
I thought everybody lived that way.
Yeah.
Apparently not. No. No, I thought everybody's aunts and uncles, you know, did bad things, ended up in jail and stuff. I don't know. My mom's side of the family is,
interesting.
They're interesting. Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
Are you in touch with your mom still?
Only one of them, one or two of them sort of like,
flourish.
Survived out of the madness. And my dad's side of the family were very snobby Dutch people, so yeah, one didn't get along with the other. There you go.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I miss the snobby person behind the desk at a record shop as well.
I would never be snobby unless people were snobby to me. If they question my answers, then they get the bitchiness. I'd be like, listen, I just told you what the answer is, and then they go over and ask the guy the same question. And I'm like, did you just ask him
That's a dick.
I was like, you know how fucking rude that is? I'm the manager here. Like, I run this fucking show and I know when it's being released and it's the day I told you. And then the guy, you know, one of the guys who'd be working at the shop would turn to me and go, Heidi, when is this record coming out? And I love it. I'd just be like, there you go. There's your answer. Now run along to another record store where somebody else, you know, go buy it somewhere else. You know, just like,
so
I can't be.
So do you know Sam Devine, right?
Pardon?
You know Sam Devine?
Yes.
So I used to buy...
I don't know her, okay. But of course I know her.
So yes. I used to buy my records from her. She worked in a record shop near me. And I used to buy all my records from her in Western Supermare, which is how... I know Sam. I've known her since I was 13.
I didn't know she worked in the record store.
Yeah, she worked... Can you remember Chemical Records as well? So Chemical Records was like quite a big record shop in Bristol, but it was also quite big in Wales as well at the time. But before that, she worked in a record shop called Spin Central.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just missed the whole, like, I was always so nervous going into a record shop when I was younger. Like, it was like a big thing.
I don't know. I think maybe because I never went record shopping.
Yeah.
That I never... Like, I was never nervous. I don't know. I was front of house the whole time, you know? So it was like, you had to deal with me, deal with it. You know, it's like, you don't like it, too bad. You know, we all, us ladies have, you know, we have personality changes every now and again, you know, and that's just the way that it is. So if you can't handle it, come another day.
No, I like it. There's a record shop in a local city quite close to me. Like, I went in there just around Christmas time. There was a crew of us that went in, and like the guy that owns it, he also runs a record label. We all walked in like not even a hi, not even a hello. Like, he looked at us and just like completely blanked us, and I was like, dude, like, what?
Yeah, I knew I would never do that forever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't, like, it was a stepping stone, I think, for me. You know what I mean? I learned a lot there for sure. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about, like, tons of stuff. Like, I thought I knew, you know, the reason why they brought me in is because I was a woman.
Yeah.
They wanted to have their token woman. No. I was just, we were friends. We were flatmates. And then, basically, you know, I had good knowledge of Detroit and Chicago house and techno. You know what I mean? I knew my shit, you know, I knew, and I knew a lot of the British stuff too, and German stuff. So it was like, they were like, okay, like she knows her shit. Like she knows labels. She knows DJ. She knows, you know, whatever. So let's bring her in. So I was like, all right. I didn't even have to like apply for the job. They just said, do you want the job? Like, okay, sure. For nothing. I mean, God, like you think about how much money you get paid like back then. Oh my God. I remember I was working at the Dog Star in Brixton behind the bar. Yeah. I was managing that. And it was like, I was getting paid £3.30 an hour.
No tips. Cause you don't tip in England.
No tips. Coming from Canada when I was making like $500 a night in tips to no tips was like a real shock to the system.
Yeah. Why tip? Like you're getting paid. Come on.
Getting paid nothing. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. Like basically bus fare.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I was like, I mean, yeah, things have changed drastically in London for sure. I mean, London is just, it's not the same. It's not the same as it used to be, I don't think.
Like, are people earning good money in those jobs?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I don't like to talk about money. I just think it's like a bit tacky. I just think, you know, I think some people are extremely overpaid and there are some people that are extremely underpaid.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
And I feel like people that do the same job should be all getting paid the same money. You know what I mean? Like whether you're a man or you're a woman.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, as ladies, we get the shaft. So.
Yeah, it's weird that, isn't it?
Just because we're still an inferior person in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, women aren't, you know, looked upon as people who can do what men can do still to this day.
Do you think it's still like that in the music industry?
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh my God. Do you see all the freaking fuse online? It's ridiculous. Oh my God. It's just like, and they like to try and pin the girls against each other. And it's, you know, they like to try and start shit up. And it's just like, man, just lift each other up. Yeah, you know, you should be there to do is to lift up your fellow. Your fellow compadre, you know what I mean? What? Like, I'm not there to tear you down unless you've done something horrible to me.
Yeah.
Then I've got no beef with you. You know what I mean? Like, there's no problem. I don't care. It's just, but like, if you fuck with me, like really hard, which some people have done in this music industry, their day will come.
Yeah. No, I'm a firm believer
I'm
of
like
that.
Ninja. They won't know it's coming. Because it'll be all, I'll wait like years and then, you know, then I'll cut off. They won't know why it happened. They don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of true crime shows.
Clearly, you're a pro.
Honestly, it's like, I could probably get away with murder. I'm just saying, that's how many crime shows I watched. My man's always like, he's like, oh my God, you could totally like kill me, get away. Dispose of my body, nobody would ever find me. I was like, I literally could. I would never do that. Never. He's like, I'm a hero. Saved me.
Do you listen to crime podcasts as well?
Sorry?
Do you listen to crime podcasts as well?
I don't listen to, I listen to Annie's podcast, Changes.
Changes.
I don't really listen to podcasts, no. I wanted to start one, and then somebody snagged my idea right before I was about to do it, and then
what was the idea?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I'm not going to say because it's of my a friend of mine who did it. Not because I told this person anything about what I was going to do, but he just managed to get there before me, so that's okay.
I don't like to
do the same things as other people, you know what I mean? I kind of want to try and do something a little bit different. That's why this residency, like, I want to take this, it's going to go around like I did with the Jackathon. I'm going to take it to different places, you know, book different people. Hopefully I'll get more time. I didn't have very much time for this one.
Yeah.
I only had like a month to book anybody. They gave me like a month. So, or 2 months, which is crazy. You can't book anybody in 2 months. Like you need to book them like six, seven, 8 months in advance now. And I was so I wanted to because book London there people for like, well, not this week. This week is Alinka. I mean, when is this going out?
This is coming out like the second week in August.
When is this podcast going out?
Second week in August.
Second week in what? August?
August, yeah.
Oh, so the residency's already
residency's done. Over.
Okay. Never mind. We'll tell you past tense. It was awesome. It was the best.
Sold out every night.
Every single night. Yeah, queues are on the block. Oh my god, it was crazy. No. It's getting better and better and better. Yeah. I mean, I think the younger crowd don't know who I am. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Some of them do, of course they do.
Yeah.
But they like other music. It's fine. House and techno will always be around. It will always stay. I've seen the ebbs and flows. I've seen the ups and downs since being in the music industry for 20 years, yeah. You know, especially here. I've seen like people be super huge and then I've seen them disappear. I've seen other people be super huge and stay huge forever.
Yeah.
I've seen people go, you know, one hit wonders. I've seen it all. So it's fine. You know, I'm just, you know, if you're a nice person and you try to do nice things for people, I always hope that comes back to you. You know what I mean? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. The magic words from my mother.
No, I agree with that. And I think it's really important to kind of have that attitude because it can be pretty like hard work in this industry when,
I'm on the grind, man. I've been grinding. That sounds horrible. Sorry. What's what you guys use?
I don't even know.
Grafting.
Oh, graft. No,
I've been grafting for fucking years, man. Like, seriously, I've done most of it on my own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm lucky I have some management now who are super awesome and they've helped me out and but like I've never had like I've done everything myself almost except for a few things but it's been like a lot of work and a lot of networking and talking to people and you know and if there's people that you know you can spot the bad eggs a mile away
totally.
So well at least I thought you could except my ex-agent I thought he was a good egg. He wasn't. He's a rotten egg. That's for sure. That's what you got to watch out for is the people that you think are good people in this industry. There's a lot of fucking devils running around. You don't realize they're devils. They're really good at charming the pants off you at the beginning. And then they stick a freaking like sword in your freaking heart, rip it out.
What happened? Are we going to have to go into detail or not? Nope. Moving on.
I'm over him.
Over.
He's dead to me.
Fuck him.
He's dead to me. Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah. I hope nobody else has to experience what I experienced with that person. But yeah, he's a horrible person.
I think this is the thing. It's just also the fact of life, isn't it? There's dickheads and there's nice people. and in every
pretty
industry.
Much, yeah, man. Like, I'm a tough chick. Like, I'm tough. I'm as tough as you like. You have to have thick skin to be a female in this industry, or anybody in this industry. Yeah. It's not easy for men. It's not easy for anybody, no, any human, not. To be in this industry, be away from your fam, from your friends and your family, like all the time, to be on the road, like all the time. You miss everything. You miss birthdays. Yeah. You miss weddings. You miss people's having children or your friends. You miss like having a relationship. Yeah. Like, my God, like I'm lucky to have a very wonderful one, stable, beautiful one now. But like, I mean, I was like single for years. Like, yeah. I was gone. Mm. Like, there's like, how do you keep anything, like have a regime, you know? Like, I crashed and hit the wall a million times, but, you know, got back up and did it again. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. It's hardcore, like traveling like that, like going, you know, from Europe to South America to Australia, and then you go up to the States, and then you go to Canada, and you go to Central America, and then you're over here. Like, my schedule, whoever was doing my schedule, like, I wasn't really thinking. And also because I grew up in a poor family, I said yes to everything. So yeah. I was like, yes, 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 yes. And I just couldn't. I came to a point where you can't say yes to everything. You can't. You'll end up burning out. And especially if people are taking drugs. Like, I mean, I wasn't taking drugs at the time. You know, I stopped that a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, even alcohol, like, and even drinking, it's like, you know, gives you the same sort of hangovers as drug hangovers, you know, like, where you're just... You know, you got to watch. I pick and choose my battles more carefully now than I did when I was younger. You know, it's just like, you can go. And eventually your body goes, fuck you. Like,
give up.
Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, please let me sleep. Please let me eat. You know, just stop moving for a second. Yeah. And like, just, yeah.
How did you learn to start saying no to things then? Like, what was that point?
It was full bit. I got into a relationship, and I just realized that I just didn't want to be away from this person that much anymore. And I was, you know, I was just like, I don't need to play 50 million times a month.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy. I don't need, you know, well, I could use that money now, but it's like at the time, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Everything's great. And then wham, bam, the pandemic happens. But no, it's like but having a partner who supports you and comes with me a lot of the time. So, you know, he's got a great job where he's allowed lots of time off. Yeah. So he comes with me, and I feel so much better. Like, you know, panic attacks stopped, you know what I mean? It was just like, I used to get really bad panic attacks and just like not enough sleep. It's a sleep deprivation is just like the worst thing in the world for me anyway, just personally. So yeah, that's where I struggled the most, was with the different sleeping, not being able to sleep, sleeping, like in not sleeping at all. Like when you don't sleep, that's when it's like, that's when it's time. I almost hung up the headphones a few times.
Really? What would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do if you stopped?
That's the thing. That's what I thought about all during lockdown. What the hell do I fucking do next? And I couldn't think of any. I was like, what? All I know is musicology. Taught myself. It's all I know. I know so much about it. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't have a degree or anything. I didn't go to university. It's just like, you know, self-taught music.
Yeah.
I don't know what that even gets you. I don't know how to play an instrument. But you know what I mean? I know everything there is to know about like any band or whatever you ask me about. Like, it's just, it's weird. You think about what you're going to do. And it wasn't a good time for me during the pandemic. Yeah. I couldn't see
through the fog.
I was just like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? I was just, yeah.
Would you go back into radio?
Oh my God, yes. In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Yeah, definitely. I love to do radio again, but I don't know which radio station would want me on there.
Yeah, I used to love your shows on Radio 1. They were fucking great.
Very much.
They were great.
I thought they were fun. Because all the guests I used to get, I knew them personally, so I could always make jokes with them and stuff. And, like, it wasn't so serious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd always ask them, like, silly questions. Like, I wouldn't be, like, all nerdy.
Because
I'm like, I'm just thinking about all the other people who listen to the show who aren't into the technical aspect of making us how they made that record.
Totally.
You know, I'm thinking about the other millions of people. I like want to have a laugh, you know, like just for me, laughing is my way out of a lot of things. Like I use humor as a,
well, I think that's also
as a boundary.
I think it's really interesting because like we as DJs and producers, it's fine for us to get geeky together, right? But 99% of the people that are coming to watch us play aren't being geeky and don't give a fuck about anything, which is almost like kind of why I started this podcast as well, because it's like people want to get to know us as human beings, but they don't want to talk about technical. They don't want to hear us talk about technical shit. They want to just hear us talk about our lives and our careers. And this conversation could go off into so many different tangents. Whereas that is the one thing with radio to a certain extent. You have like a finite level of time where you have a bit and you have to talk about something.
I always I'd have people who had something coming out on. Yeah. I always had like somebody who had like an album or something to, you know, to promote. And and we talk about that for like a few seconds and then we just talk about lots of other stuff. And I felt so bad for my producer. He had to edit down the interview to like, if they weren't in the studio live with me, he'd have to edit it down. Like, cause I'd be just be on the phone, like talking for ages, you know? And he's like, I gotta
wrap it up.
I gotta edit this while we're doing the show live and then stick it in there. Like, so hurry up, let's go. You know, but I loved it because we just like, I remember me and Cassie, like, we couldn't get off the phone with each other. Curtis, my favorite human on the planet, Green Velvet Cashmere.
He's the best. I love that guy.
He is so funny. Like, I can't find them anywhere online. I've looked everywhere. I found loads of my old shows. Like, I'm not allowed to put them up online, which would be really nice to have a nice catalog of all the radio shows I did and all the people that I interviewed. But
why didn't you just do it?
Because BBC.
Fuck them.
No, I can't. It's against their policies. So I can never put BBC any of my BBC radio shows up there. 9 years of radio shows.
What are they going to do?
I can't find them though.
Oh, right.
I can't find a lot of them. They're like, they've disappeared. A lot of them are on Mixcloud, which you can't download, you know? So, there's some really good ones, really memorable ones anyway.
That's a shame though, because they should be archived somewhere. And
archived at the BBC.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I had to pick my favorite essential mix. And they had to dig through the DAT tapes to find mine, which was in 1993, which is when it just first started. They first started the
Essential Mix.
And I picked Andrew Weatherall's one. And it sounds like he could have actually, it's when Spastic by Plastic Man came out. Mm. And it's crazy. It's actually when the record actually came out, and he had like an advanced copy of it. And it's on this mix, and it's so good. You listen to this mix, mixed by vinyl. You can hear it crackling. You can hear everything, and it's so amazing. It sounds like it was made yesterday.
Wow!
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
He was amazing.
He's up there. Old Weathers. He's up there in the frames over there.
I never.
He's my favorite. He used to come in and internet is unstable.
Internet,
there we go. Crazy. Yeah. Andrew was he was that regular every Thursday. He'd come in and he would refuse to be served by anybody else but me, which is a huge compliment.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah. So, and he was the last person I ever had on radio show, because I was on Giles Peterson's Worldwide FM, and I had him on 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the last show I did. ever on radio. It was with Andrew, and it was great. And we did it together. We did three times. We did it. We did a show. We did it on Radio One twice, and on Giles' show. We did like a back to back,
yeah,
like just banter back and forth, and we had like great chemistry, and it was really, really fun. I'd have him send me music, and then I just slide in the music that I thought would go with his taste, yeah, you know, his yeah, his vibe, and it just totally worked, and it was so much fun. He was a G.
That'd be amazing to listen back to as well, because that's special.
You can listen back to those. You can listen back to those.
Where can you listen back to those?
If you just type in Heidi and Andrew Weatherall, BBC or Worldwide FM, you'll find it. They'll pop up on some site somewhere. Yeah, it's good. The last one was really good. There's a really good picture up there of the two of us in the Worldwide office. That's the last time I saw him, actually. Yeah.
It's so sad that he passed.
I didn't do that. My man did that for me. He put those in frames. So I was like,
that's cute.
It's very sweet.
That's cute.
Yeah, I know.
Would you
And I'd be like, I'm like psycho Andrew Weatherall fan. It's like,
well, look what he did for music, realistically, in the grand scheme, especially.
He is unbeatable, that one, for sure.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of when everything went to shit.
Literally.
It was February. I got off the plane from Peru and my phone like blew up, and I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? But I was in Madrid, like transferring, and I was just like, this is crazy. Yeah, it happened out of nowhere. Anyway, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, death is a strange
tears will start coming.
Death is definitely a strange thing. Definitely a strange thing. With this whole hijacked situation, when are you going to start it as a record label as well?
Yes, that is going to happen.
Finally.
If this becomes like successful, if people are enjoying the hijacked nights and stuff, like I just want to like test the waters and see what people are into, if they're into the artists that I'm booking, because it's not everybody knows who, like over here, like I'm booking people that aren't super huge yet. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so they do make a lot of music. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And they are amazing DJs. And I already know like a few people that will make tracks for me. I've already asked them, but I just want to see where this goes first. And then I'm going to start. But I have full backing. It'll all be ready. It'll be ready to go.
Want to know
can make me a track.
I'll make you a track all day long.
Yes,
I actually will as well. But this is my opinion, and you don't have to take my opinion. Take my opinion with a pinch of salt. But I think you should just fucking start it and just don't think about if it's being successful. I think what you're doing.
I'm just waiting to see if the night becomes a success first before I said, that's what I did with the Jackathon. Waited to see if it was like, you know, because there are like what, one gajillion record labels out there.
Yeah, but I think what you're doing is so different to everybody else. Like everybody's record label is a fucking DJ that's trying to like, not everybody's, but a lot of people's is just like DJ record labels that just like want a sound and they want just one thing. And it's just there to boost the head DJ's career. It's not there for anything else. It's not allowing artists to be artists. It's making artists fit in with their sound. And I think because you're not a producer, you're strictly a DJ and you're a curator, like you're just signing great records. And that's what I used to like about the Jackathon stuff, is like I used to play every single record on those EPs because it was like
great. I get the person to make the track and then I get somebody totally different to do the remix. Yeah. So the remix be totally different than the track. So you get like something for everybody.
It's so important. Yeah. And I think that's for me, like growing
up. I'm not asking them to make me an EP. It's just like, you can make me one track record. And I'll just get them. Yeah. So to do that. Yeah. I love all the Jackathon records. They're great. I just don't think that they got enough love. You know what I mean? They weren't like, they didn't go reach as far as I wanted them to go, which is unfortunate, you know. And vinyl sales at the time as well were like really, really, really low. Yeah. That was like, yeah, quite a long time ago. So like vinyl was going down.
Yeah.
And there wasn't like Spotify was, I don't even know.
Spotify wasn't there then.
Spotify wasn't on yet when I had the label.
No.
It wasn't, Apple Music wasn't even,
didn't
have that either. So it was like, it's hard to.
It was just Beatport.
Out there. Yeah.
And then
Beatport had them separated now because I started it and then restarted it again.
Yeah.
And they're separate. So there's like, they're not all, I've asked a million times for them to all be put on the same page and they haven't done it. Like, I don't know how many times I have to like contact Beatport to be like, can you please put them all together? So everybody knows, you know, but
good luck. Good luck with
bureaucracy.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for what you're doing. It's really interesting, and it's cool, man. Like, I fucking love it, and it's what, like, I know, it's for me, it's what the culture needs right now is like somebody that's like not trying to tell people what to do and what tell people what sound to make, or it's just go and make fucking good music.
Yeah, and, like, make good music. Come back to me. I'll tell you if it's good or not.
Exactly. And that's it.
No, but like, who am I to tell somebody that, like, you know, I mean, this is, that's the big thing here, right? It's like, okay, so I like whatever I like, you know what I mean? And who am I to say that that person doesn't like what that person's doing? You know what I mean? It's like, that's the thing. It's hard right now because there's so many different, well, there's not so many different types of music, but there's like disco's became big again. Like that came out of nowhere. Disco just came back and like sideswiped everybody, which is good. But like, it's only certain people can play good disco. Like there's only like a handful of DJs that I think can really play good disco.
We don't need to hear
I've never ever played disco. My parents never liked disco, so I missed the boat on that whole thing.
But there's also good disco, and then there's also Dancing Queen by ABBA, and we don't need to hear that again. We don't need to hear that again.
But there's also people who can play disco in a way that's amazing. You know what I mean? That's good. Like Artwork and CC Disco and Derek Carter and, you know, Honey, when she plays disco, she can fucking throw down. Like there's a few people. There's like obviously Harvey and, you know, but there's, and there's also now then there's like this new kind of sound that's like disco but trance. I don't know what the hell, like Palms Tracks and all those guys and Yal Biasa and all those guys play, like they play this sort of it's very Dutch, it's very like, because they like the Dutch and Belgian scene it's all been like
put into one.
Come like together, like the techno, disco, and something else. I wouldn't even know what to call it. That kind of music, what they play. What would you call it?
I don't know, but is that like more on the like the cooler Deck Mantle kind of side of things? Where it's just like there's a crew and that they do it all very well, but it's just
in front of like ridiculous crowds. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah,
huge, and people love it.
Yeah,
they love it. They absolutely love it. Like, I mean, they can't be, all those people can't be wrong. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know one record that they play, one. No. I'm like, I have no fucking clue what any of this is like, you know, which is interesting to me. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I like to find out what it is. But yeah, I never get booked on shows with these people. So it's hard for me to try and integrate myself into that music, you know what I mean? Because I don't get booked to play at festivals that play, this is what I don't like. Like they only go for one sound.
Yeah.
They don't mix it up enough, you know, where you can go see a bunch of different people. So it's just like.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that's what I was kind of getting at right at the beginning of this conversation, that it's like the scene's so strange where it's like you have like a tech house festival now. It's like, I don't ever go to a fucking festival to see tech. Like, I grew up going to Glastonbury. Like, the whole point of Glastonbury is you see,
I went, everything. My very first time abroad was going to Glastonbury in Canada. Yeah, I went to Glastonbury. I got in for 10 quid from some dodgy scouser. 1996.
Sounds about right.
1996.
Jeez, yeah. I live like 15 minutes away from Glastonbury. It's like, I can hear it.
It looked really hot this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a shame when they don't get flooded out, because it's always, Glastonbury isn't the same if it's not raining. I don't care what anyone says.
I prefer it to not rain.
I love it when it rains.
I've been there when it's rained many times, and it's been hell in a handbasket. It's like I want to literally end my own life. Like my boots are getting stuck in the mud. I'm stuck in the mud. Like I'm trying to drag my absolute wasted friends around through the mud. Like, you know, like it takes you 5 hours to get from one side of the site to the other side of the site when it rains. But then when it's hot, it's even worse. Because then you're up because the freaking sun is beaming through your tent at like 4 o'clock in the morning when you're just trying to go to sleep, if you're even trying to go to sleep.
Exactly.
But it's like, yeah, it's back when I started going, there was only one
dance
there was
tent.
Las Vegas. That's it. And there was the dance tent.
Same.
That's it.
I think
there was there was no dance world. It was like I remember 1999 and not 99 and 2000 was crazy. It was like, so they just like before they built the wall.
Yeah,
I remember going there, and I remember it being, there was 300,000 people there. It was so, wow. I was getting crushed. I was going into the dance tent to go watch, I think, Ronnie Size or somebody. And it was like, I love drum and bass, by the way. Just another little tip. Love me some drum and bass. And like literally my feet weren't even touching the ground, and I was being like lifted. And I was like, oh my God, I was like getting crushed.
Yeah.
Like they're all trying to go through this little small, and that's how people end up dying at festivals.
Yeah.
Just because of that. It's happened
multiple times.
We don't even know how many people have unfortunately passed away at Glastonbury. Like that's just,
they keep it very quiet.
Oh yeah. I mean, I know that there was one year that I went, somebody was found underneath the mud. The mud had gotten so much that he'd been buried in the mud.
That's dark.
It's crazy, right?
That's dark. Yeah.
mental.
I remember I think my first year was 2003, and there was a dance tent and that was it. It wasn't a dance village, and it was fucking amazing.
Shangri-La or Silver Haze, like all the, NYC Down Low and Genesis Block 9 and Icon Stage, all that stuff. Like that's new. That's all recent, which is great
for people like us.
But then you got to play like four stages to get a ticket. You play four times and you're like, where am I going? What's happening?
I've still never played. Still never played.
No.
No.
Well, I was like, I'm not. I played in 2014, and then every year after that.
Did you play this year?
No, I didn't play this year. No.
Yeah.
Except for this year.
Yeah, I really want to play, but I also.
I don't know if I can. I want to, but then I just want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Go home. Like, unless I have a nice RV or something where there's like, I got everything. Listen, when I started
caravan,
to play there, I was like, listen, I'm getting a freaking teepee. I'm going to pay money and I'm going to do it right. I'm not tenting out there with all that shit. Fuck that. I was like, no way. I paid my dues, man, from 1996 until 2000. And a long time.
Yeah.
I did 10 years of like in the schlepping it in the mud and then the like with all the herds of cows of people.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's great.
It's like a refugee camp. It's like if you look at it like from like afar, because we always used to get, I used to go with my dad every year and we'd get flooded out every year. So we'd end up just sleeping in the car the whole time. So we'd walk like a mile away to the car every night and you'd just sit on the top of the hill and just look out. And it was just like a refugee camp, just seas of people.
It's crazy. I know, seeing the above shots and stuff are amazing. It's wild. It's absolutely wild what they do. I think it's amazing. I think it's unreal. It is the best festival in the world. I mean, like people say it's the best festival. It definitely is the best festival in the world. And like to play at it, like if you're on the, I can't imagine playing the main stage of Glastonbury. Like I just can't imagine. That would be like the most Like, you can see some of the performers, like, when they, I watch them and you see their faces and they're just like, holy shit. It's like, this is the most people I've ever played in front of in my life. It's always their, it's their biggest concert, always. Because there's, like, I think, how many people were there for, like, this?
250,000.
Yeah. I think for Elton John this year, I think there was, like, over 100,000 people there watching.
Yeah, 150,000 people watching Elton John.
Yeah, and then half of them left and went to go see the big... Queens of Stone Age,
yeah,
which was great because I just saw them like 2 days before.
Oh, really?
At Margate in Dreamland, amazing. They played because they announced that tour, and then all of a sudden they just popped up on the Glastonbury lineup, and I was like, oh, fuck, what? But we saw them in a nice little tiny at Dreamland and Margate. It was so weird. I was like, what the? I'll see Queens of, and now they're playing at the O2 as well. I was like, They're back in the game. I don't know if you like Queens of Stone Age, but I'm a big fan.
I've never really like I listened to that much of their music, so I can't really comment on it.
Okay. I'm just in love with the singer.
Really? Is it like the only that?
Trent Reznor. Oh yeah, we love him. We like him.
Trent is a fucking G. Trent's a G.
He's on the wall. He's on the Wall of Fame.
Is he? Have you got another picture?
Yeah.
How does your partner feel about this?
He's in the other room.
All of these men. How does your partner feel about this? All of these men.
He loves
in frames.
It. Matter. He knows he's my number one. He knows he's my number one. He knows it's all fantasy. It's future fantasy husband. Is what it's called. It's a game.
I get it. You know? I have that with wives.
It's just a fantasy.
Yeah.
I know it'll never happen.
We're allowed him.
I know.
We've just had an hour and 20.
I wouldn't want to meet these people in real life because I would just freeze up and just be like, ugh.
Do you think? You know? Would you get starstruck?
Yeah, I don't like to meet people that are super famous.
Yeah.
I like to keep something in the imagination. I have met some people that are quite famous, but I just can't.
Who's the most famous?
I have to like just remove myself from the conversation. I'm like, I can't, or I can't stop talking. I'll just be like, la, 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 like over and over and over, just repeat. Like they must think I'm insane or a drug addict or something. I'm like,
They must get used to it.
That?
Yeah. Like, people, weird interactions.
I'm such a huge fan. I'm such a big fan of yours. But then I think that's nice because when people do that to me, I think, oh, that's
exactly.
That's super nice. Thank you so much. You know, like, I appreciate it. When people, like, you know, say stuff on social media, that's like really kind and lovely, which, you know, I'm lucky. I don't get a lot of bad things said to me anymore. But there's still... I still get the people getting upset with me putting my hair up. I don't know. I got one the other day. They're like, why would you put your hair up like that when you have such nice blonde curly hair? And I'm just like, because it's fucking 95 fucking degrees outside and I'm sweating my tits off. So I'm going to put my hair up because I'm a woman and I have options.
You're allowed. You're allowed
like,
to do what you want.
I don't want to be known just as like the Afro curly hair. Like, you know, I mean, come on. I was even thinking about it today. I was like, shit, should I wear my hair down? I'm like, it's actually really hot and muggy. I don't want to do my hair. It takes 45 minutes to do my fucking hair. It
takes 45 minutes? That's a long time. 45 minutes?
It takes to blow dry, yeah.
Jesus.
I have super thick, massive hair. It takes 45 minutes, and I have to put lots of shit in it, too, to make it all nice and, you know.
That's dedication.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's dedication.
I just want to shave it and wear a wig.
That's what I do.
just put a baseball cap on. That's it.
Bic razor is my best friend.
That is the Bic razor your best friend? Well, you got the hair coming the other way, so it's all right.
Yeah, it kind of like during COVID.
It just went like this. It went through your skull and out of your chin.
Pretty much, yeah. Like I've had the beard for like years now, but I started losing my hair drastically through COVID.
Did you?
Yeah. Like,
shit.
Not like I was thinning before, but like it got bad during COVID. Right. I was like,
so you're like, okay, give me that razor. I'm going in.
I was, this is the thing. This is why I always wore hats like before that, because I was so self-conscious.
Hats actually make you go bolder as well.
Yeah. And I was always so self-conscious of my hair. Cause it was like,
really?
Oh yeah, I was, it's the one, I
get right here. That's my, is the, cause if you're, when you get, when you get photographed, when people take pictures of you, when it's always like,
yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Yeah.
All that. And then my nice big, nice big chunky arm in there. Oh yeah. That's like favorite angle when they do that.
Just grow a beard.
Fine. You really think that I want to see this photograph? Like, why would you put that for people to see? Like, fucking, or take them down. This is like before you could when people could tag you on Facebook on any old photo, and then you couldn't get it taken down. And I was like,
no,
this is ridiculous. I look absolutely horrendous in that picture. Like, why is that up there for people to see? They're probably still up there. I never go on fucking Facebook. I just can't be asked. I'm over it. So definitely over it.
Are you over social media?
No, I like Instagram. I do like Instagram. I don't use TikTok. I don't look at TikTok at all. But the ones that come on Instagram that are from TikTok, you know what I mean? I'll see those. So some of them are funny. I mean, I like it, but it's unfortunate that it's ruling the roost. You know what I mean? Like, it's ruling everything. Like, how many likes you get and how many, like, you know, basically posting. Like, if I post a picture of myself in a bathing suit, oh my God,
blows up.
If I just post any old thing, it's like nobody gives a fucking shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, okay. Like, I always post funny stuff. And I'm not just like, my Instagram is not just professional photos of myself.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the other, unfortunately, newbies to this game. So, I'm just like, I just don't follow those people. I only follow people that either make me laugh or are interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Or are my friends.
I agree.
Yeah. There was a lot of like mute happening during lockdown. I was like, bye.
The last month, I just started unfollowing people.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
a good thing to do, because it's good for your mental health, because it was really fucking with my brain, because I kept thinking like, oh my God, like, how are these people keeping it together? And I'm fucking like losing my shit. Like, how are they doing all this? And it's just all smoke and mirrors, you know, a lot 100%. Of it's not true. So it's just like, I'll go a whole month without even looking at it, but I obviously do it for work, but like, I only use it for work purposes most of the time.
Yeah, I respect that.
It's like, it's just, but I just can't, you know, I realize how long you sit there scrolling through, like, you're just like a zombie when I could be doing something more productive, you know what I mean? Which is, it's a vicious cycle, this little thing.
It really is. It really is. There's pros and cons to it, right? And if you can, if you can use it for what it's that made for, and if you can be productive with it, then great.
Listen, I like it. I like following certain things and looking at certain, finding out new things. But you know, like, just, I mean, Facebook became really toxic, and it was all just a lot of older people moaning about younger people. It's just like, I can't listen, and putting up really horrible videos of things, and I was just like, I can't. I don't want to watch this anymore. Like, over this, you know, people are like, I sent you a message through Facebook, and I was like, why don't you pick up the phone and call me? Remember? Like, you have my number. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just call me. Like, I leave voice messages on WhatsApp all the time. People hate it. They're like, why? I'm like, because I don't text to fucking, like, book to you. Like, why don't you just pick up the phone when I call you? And then it's so much easier.
Calling is easier, but I'm not a fan of voice messages. I'm just like, just fucking call me.
Really?
Yeah, just call me instead of voice message.
No, but I do that. And if they don't answer, then I'll leave a voice message.
Yeah, that's like a punishment if they don't pick up. Right, we've just done an hour and a half. Let's wrap this motherfucker up. Yeah, it's just flown by. Thank you so much for coming on. I've really enjoyed
it. You're welcome.
This. I've really, and it's been okay. Nice to actually have a conversation outside of a club, because we haven't ever had a conversation outside of a club. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, will I see you this summer?
I think we might be playing the same trick party again.
Oh, cool.
I think.
In August 14th.
16, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
No, actually, I think you're right. Let me just check.
I think it's the 14th.
14, yeah. Wait,
yeah.
This is coming out.
Are you playing that one?
Yeah, and this is coming out on the 8th of August.
Oh, cool.
I think. So, see you in a week.
So, I'm going to get my teleportation device. I'll see you in a week.
Amazing. Mate, thank you so much. Keep in touch.
Big kiss.
Thank you so much. Keep safe. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, babe.
And that's up. Big love to Heidi for coming on. Go listen, go share. If you want to join the Discord, hit the link in the description. Sign up, get involved, start these conversations going, and please share. Love you lots. Keep safe. See you next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.